Aziz Fall is a political scientist based in Montreal with GRILLA, Group for Research and Initiatives for the Liberation of Africa. He joined us to give some context about the political crisis in the Ivory Coast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, pleasure. Thank you.
And that wraps up today's program. This is Free Speech Radio News. Thanks for listening. In New York, I'm Dorian Marina.
And this is WBAI in New York. It's 7 o'clock on a Wednesday. Time for Off the Hook.
Oh, hi.
Oops. The wrong thing came up. I'm sorry, but you know what? We're going to know what that's all about in a couple of minutes. Yeah, it's because the timer isn't on there. There we go. That's our theme, Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. I couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, did you bounce was the best to say the worst?
Very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening. Yes, we were preempted last week, but we were unpreempted right before the show, so we didn't have enough time to come in and do a program, unfortunately. So, yeah, we could have been here last week, but we weren't. Something else was here instead. But we're here this week, and Mike is here, too.
Well, so what you're saying is we weren't on last week.
We were definitely not on last week.
All right.
I'm saying we could have been, but no use crying over spilt milk.
All right.
Or
fine.
Milk that has yet to be thrown. Also joining us is Gus.
Oh, hi.
And it's not going to match what we heard before.
No.
And Dot Red?
Hey there.
Voltaire?
I'm not even going to bother with that clever thing.
Yeah, good. Okay. Glad you didn't. And Jim?
Hello.
Down in Philadelphia is Bernie S. No? I guess Phil...
I heard him before.
Well, I don't hear him now. Do you? Listen. That's the sound of Bernie S. Nothing. It's
usually
silence.
Much more talkative than that.
Well, he's not there. I suggest you...
You know, Mike... My pocket is buzzing.
Go
about
back
that
to the phone and figure
years.
Out how to call Philadelphia there. And while you're doing that, let me introduce our special guest, Jason Scott, who joins us in the studio.
Yeah, hello there.
And Jason, where did you hail from today?
Recently? I was around in New York,
and
I normally am in Boston and coming to stay in New York in the future. So
forever.
Awesome.
Well, I mean, until I find a new place, I guess, sometime, but... I mean, you know.
It's a good place to settle.
Never say for forever. I was born in New York,
so
I'm returning home, one might say.
People not familiar with your work might be asking, who in God's name is Jason Scott? And maybe this is a good time to tell about your text files project that you've been working on for so many years. So
yes.
Many years that it could have its own text file-like project to document its history.
Yeah, you know, that's actually what's happening now. You know, when I started out in 1998... with that project, it was because the World Wide Web had been around for a few years, was considered quote-unquote mainstream, and I thought about computer bulletin board systems of the 1970s and 80s and 90s, and I said, man, somebody should really have a place where you can get all that history, and I went and looked around, and nobody had it. And I thought, well, I guess it's going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and started a project to assemble all this old stuff. And here it is 10 years later, and I have an enormous amount of data because everyone said, oh, I guess you can have it.
Uh-huh.
And over time, I've become kind of the general computer historian. So textfiles.com has been around long enough that kids who first went online when they were like 10 will write me and say, I'm going to college because I learned stuff from your site.
Isn't that scary when people do that?
Yeah, when they're like, oh, you know, that old war horse, that old site of yours, it's always been there for me.
Uh-huh. And you've influenced their lives somehow, and they're going in a particular direction because of you.
Yeah. Although I like to hope it's that I help them see their goal as opposed to I've built a master army of.
So now, if folks have old floppy disks and printouts of BBSs of the past, are you still interested in receiving them?
I am very much interested in that. In fact, somebody said, "Hey, do you want some old magazines and stuff?" And it ended up turning into a truckload. It was one of the co-founders of the Free Software Foundation, and he wanted to clear out his barn, and nobody would take all of it. Some people were like, "Oh yeah, I want this one valuable magazine." That's what people are like, right? Give me the one valuable magazine, but not all of it. I said, "I'll take all of it," and one truckload later. And someone just mailed me, I think yesterday, saying, "I want to send you some magazines," and he's like, "Yeah, it's 425 pounds.
Wow.
I'm like, okay.
You have a truck. Or you have a semi? What do you have?
Well, people are mailing them to me, but right now I have a storage container, a 40-foot storage container called the Information Cube, the TextFiles.com Library Information Cube. That is a massive, you know, collection of crates of old magazines that I've been sorting and describing online.
Isn't it amazing how quickly things disappear? Something you think would be around forever, just you can't find a single copy of it anymore.
Yeah, that is one of those things that people don't really, I think, grab onto, especially if it's something from their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could all sit around and say, of course, there's no more televisions from the 50s. That doesn't make any sense.
Right, right.
But then you'll say, you know, there aren't really very many Mattel electronics, you know, old games like, you know, Merlin or whatever, and you can't find them. And they'll be like, what? Of course not. You can go anywhere and find those. And the answer is, really, no. And so by collecting them, it at least enables us to decide what to do next. You know, people are like, what are you intending to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm just the guy that somebody in 2025 wishes was around. You know, that's what I do. I'm that guy. Just like, I'm like, oh, thank goodness there was somebody in the early 80s who did this and this, and I was able to get a copy of it. So, for me, that's all I'm doing. I'm kind of the way station.
Well, I'm going to talk to you in 2025 and see how people feel then about what you're doing. So, if people want to send you things, how do they do it?
Well, my official mailing address for textfiles.com is 738 Main Street, number 383. That's in Waltham, Waltham, Massachusetts, 02451. It's not my house. It's a UPS store, so don't worry. Go ahead and send what you need to. I get packages all the time from people. If somebody sends me something I already have, then I have two of them. So it's not a case of, you know, people are like, I should go through it, decide what to send you. And I'm like, nah, just send it all. Otherwise, it'll go back up in the attic for another day.
And what if they want to send you something online?
Jason@textfiles.com.
Okay.
Works all the time.
I bet a lot of our listeners have things they've been stashing electronically or papers stacked up to the ceiling of various old magazines or just... I mean, you're interested in anything having to do with the computer world, right?
Right. Ben, one of your staff members, sent me an enormous amount of stuff he had collected.
Really?
And from it, I was able to determine that he lived in suburbia and really liked punk and wanted to be a part of all these scenes. And so he subscribed to, you know, Ben is Dead and all these punk zines, and he had piles of them, and so I took them and said, okay.
So you'll punk magazines too, you'll collect?
Oh, yeah.
Not just computer underground things?
Yeah, no. For me, like I said, it's a way station thing. It's like I'll take it, and I'll make sure it gets to a good home because I'm constantly in contact with other people who have collections.
But if I have a room full of the Wall Street Journal, every single issue, you don't want that, do you?
No, but I don't mind being talked to help you find a place. There was some guy who had, like, a lifetime collection of science fiction magazines, and he was going to put them up on eBay. And I contacted him and some others did and convinced him maybe that's not a good idea. And he ended up having – we made enough of a noise about it that a college has now made a collection in his name. And you know, he basically was going to go into a home, and he knew this. And so he was like – I just wanted to go to a good home intact, and so there you go. So, I'm, you know, people go, oh, here's a guy who collects things. He'll know what to do with this collection of things I have. I don't mind having that conversation. I have that conversation a lot.
All right. Well, we're going to be getting back to you in just a little bit, talking about your newest project, which is also amazing and fascinating. But let me remind the folks, tonight is a fundraising show. I believe it's our last one. I think it's going to be all over next week, all over one way or another, hopefully in the positive sense. So we're offering some special things tonight. Now, the first thing we want to tell folks about is a project that our own Gus is involved in, has been for some time. And it's really kind of fascinating, interesting, relevant. And why don't you describe it in maybe some more, I guess, accurate words as to just what it is that you were looking to do when you started this project?
So I'm studying media literacy at school, and I decided at some point I wanted to make a show about media literacy, because frequently you don't sort of get video content about media literacy, with all due respect to the Media Education Foundation up in Massachusetts and a couple other places. Just because, like, especially if you're going to do advertised video content, you can't exactly be like, here's something telling you to critique advertising, and now here's some advertising. Buy our products. You know, it sort of doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
So started working on that. It's also not something that you really necessarily get out of, like, PBS. Media literacy is not really their kind of thing as much, aside from the Don't Buy It website, which if you're interested, you should also check.
What is that website?
Don't Buy It. I don't remember what the URL is, but it's one of PBS's sites. And they've got some pretty good media literacy stuff, but it tends to be aimed at younger kids. And I was really wanting to do something on YouTube where we could just sort of engage with people who are doing fandom kind of stuff online already anyway, which is a form of critique in its own way. And I also wanted to balance out critique, you know, sort of saying, what does it do when you have to advertise and you have to make sure that you're not making your advertisers angry? But at the same time, you know, what if you're a really big fan of some show, like you're part of a science fiction fandom, you do cosplay or something like that? Like, mm-hmm. how do you balance these two things out? So, hence The Media Show, which is our show on YouTube, youtube.com.
Now, actually, I'll confess, that is what we heard at the beginning of the show, a snippet of it. We're going to hear
yes.
a lot more of that. But basically, is it fair to say The Media Show is a puppet show?
It is a show with puppets, but it's sort of post...
I think that makes it a puppet show.
When you think puppet show, you do think that you maybe should give this to children. But this is really sort of a post-Avenue Q, post-Meet the Feebles, post-Team America World Police kind of a puppet show.
Mm-hmm. I think you should give it to kids. I think kids would get something out
of it. I hope so, too. But the thing is, when we actually try to give it to them through school, that tends to go
awry. Well, no, you give it to them on street corners.
If you have a child that, right, exactly. Right. So if you have a child that you want to corrupt, this might be the show for you. But we also, I mean, we really, all of our episodes are very different. We have some episodes which are safe to give to your Aunt Mabel, and they really are for Aunt Mabel. Like, we've got one about etiquette, online etiquette, netiquette specifically,
mm-hmm.
where we talk about wearing white gloves and being polite to your elders and, you know, holding the door open for people, and how, similarly, when you're online, you shouldn't forward as many chain letters as you possibly can to people, because that's rude. That's called netiquette.
I'd like to play an excerpt from one of your shows. This is about Snopes.
Snopes.com.
Tell us something about what's going on here.
So basically, we did a couple of things that are sort of like PSAs, and we were hoping that people would sort of pass them around a little bit. And we're just doing a little promo for Snopes.com, or Snopes.org. Snopes.org.
Well, you know what? We should ask Snopes.
Well, listen, actually, it'll be in the clip, I think. But just suggesting to people that they follow the logo Snopes before you send. If an email is too good to be true, check Snopes.
Now, the interesting thing is, and we are offering this as a premium, if people want to call in right away, 212-209-2950, you'll get three DVDs of The Media Show, produced by our own Gus here, You'll hear all kinds of interesting topics discussed, but you also see them. You also see all sorts of little snippets. There's fair use evoked here many, many times, where all of a sudden you'll cut to something from the 1950s, a video piece. And it sort of reminds me of what Negative Land does sometimes, which is going all over the place. But there's a point. There's a lesson to be learned. There's something educational here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done in a very interesting way that all kinds of people would get something out of. It's not going to come across in the audio nearly as much as the video will present it. So it's important to point out. Let's listen to this piece on Snopes. And again, the phone number is 212-209-2950 for a pledge of $75. You'll get three DVDs filled with media show episodes. They're all about how long?
They're pretty short. They're mostly under 5 minutes, but we also have a little bit of extra content about the making of the show.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of material here. Let's listen to the first clip, all about Snopes.
Oh, hi. We are making a public service announcement because we are worried that you may be stupid. And according to the 80s, PSAs are how you prevent stupid.
Can you write your name?
Of course.
You have to learn how, letter by letter.
And I kept at it until I learned.
Doing the right thing makes you a superstar.
Yeah.
Hit it, Erna.
Oh, wow. Bill Gates is going to send me $1 for every person I forward this to. And Applebee's is going to give me a $50 gift certificate, too. And I guess we should stop using the Swiffer. It's going to kill the dog. Don't take any business cards from strangers. They may be soaked in a date rape drug. And, oh, this is so sad. Sesame Street is being canceled. I should send these emails to everyone so that they will be warned.
Stop!
It's Rita from TV's The Media Show.
Gosh. Did you check to see if any of these emails are true?
But, Weena, I trust the person who sent these to me.
But who did they get it from?
Oh, well, I got it from Agnes. She got it from Jim.
We all agree it must have been Louise who gave it to him.
She got it from Harry.
Always check Snopes.com or FactCheck.org before you send that forward. They show their work, so you know where those emails are coming from.
Wow! Snopes.com and FactCheck.org are amazing. I guess blondes aren't going extinct, and Obama never tried to ban semi-automatic weapons.
Remember, Snopes before you send.
Now I know.
And knowing is half a superstar.
G.I. Jim!
Oh, wow. Okay, that's, now, you, again, you won't really appreciate the true value of this without seeing it. It's priceless. And Gus, you also are able to bring in people from the computer world to discuss various things. It's really kind of funny to see them interacting with the puppets, but you had Mitch Altman there at one point?
Mitch Altman,
I'm sorry, you're not coming up.
Sorry about that.
Oh, there you are.
One of our major goals for the show, for me specifically, is to take a lot of the great stuff that I've learned from 2600, from Hope, and all kinds of places from this show as well, and bring it to people who wouldn't necessarily be comfortable going up to stuff that's related to hackers. So, for example, this might be something that you might want to pick up and then, like, pass on to your mom or pass on to a cousin who's a little bit antsy about this stuff, just because it's sort of being presented in a way that is a little bit more friendly and asking a lot more questions. So, like, we talk to Mitch Altman, but we ask him a few more questions about why he does what he does. Or we had some stuff about Steve Rumbaum from Hope.
You didn't actually get him to come in and interact
with puppets. No, we borrowed some clips for educational purposes.
Okay, I couldn't imagine Steve doing that, but it would be amazing to see.
That would be pretty amazing. Yeah. We've got James Grimmelman, who we've had on here before. He talks a little bit about fair use with one of the puppets sort of interrogating him because we actually had something that got taken down because of fair use claims on, or DMCA claims, sorry, on YouTube. So it's all stuff that's much more accessible to teachers. It'd be accessible to your relatives, whoever.
Now, the thing that got removed from YouTube, is that on the DVD?
Yes, I'm planning to put that on the DVD.
Right.
That
Ooh.
Is, as a matter of fact, the green... Well,
go
let's
ahead.
Just
go
say,
ahead.
I'm just worried that if I talk about it, maybe they'll come after us with a DMCA claim.
Are
we up for this?
Wouldn't that be something? They took down Cryptome.org, I heard.
For a National Organization for Marriage?
No, not for that, but for something else. We'll get into that probably in the weeks ahead. But, no, go ahead.
Yeah, the National Organization for Marriage is green screens, because we suggested a green screen challenge on the order of Stephen Colbert's green screen challenge.
Now, the National Organization for Marriage is the organization that works to... restrict the number of marriages that take place?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's that sort of idiosyncratic,
just
hypocritical organization. Yes,
confused.
Well, okay. Let's veer back onto topic here and get people to call in. 212-209-2950 to get copies of the media show, 3 DVDs full. Mm-hmm. And also, I should point out, pledges $25 and above get the brand new Off the Hook t-shirt, which we've described before, newly designed by Rob T. Firefly in the size of your choice, mm-hmm. which we've never offered before. So 212-209-2950. We have no calls on the line yet. That's because I know people are waiting to hear the next clip, which we're going to get to in just a moment. What else?
Should also understand that since 75 is above 25, mm-hmm. if you get the media show DVDs, you'll also get the t-shirt.
That's right.
And you can do that by calling 212-209-2950.
And honestly,
you have one call on the line, so let's make
The real reason you're doing this is because you want to see Emmanuel interacting with puppets. Because we actually managed to drag him into the studio. Everybody actually, pretty much almost everybody in the, well, not everybody, but there's some of the people we're missing, but a couple of people in the room now were on the show with us when we pranked an advertiser called House Christmasparty.com.
I was tricked into going.
No, you were not.
I thought there was candy, and I was told to open this door. And instead
there were puppets.
Instead there were puppets everywhere, and yes, you can see me awkwardly interacting with puppets.
And that particular video is one of our favorites because it also has a lot of drag nuns in it. It has nuns in drag teaching sex ed with hot dogs. 200 free hot dogs. If you want to see how this works out, you're going to want to pick up this video in HD.
Maybe that's one not to give to the kids.
It's all safe for work, provided your work is okay with sexual innuendo, drag nuns, and hot dogs.
Okay, yeah, fair
and
enough.
And sex ed, yeah.
212-209-2950. Give us a call. The pledge of $75. You'll get these DVDs and learn something. It's amazing to see the various projects that we're involved in outside of the show. And this is one of the more interesting ones. What kind of feedback have you gotten?
Actually, especially from folks who go to the 2600 meetings, the house party episode was really, really popular. Everybody was like, "Oh, it's so funny to see Emmanuel up there with puppets and stuff like that." So,
they said that, huh?
So they
can you give me some names? I'd like to follow up on those discussions.
Well, it's all up in public, so you can
all
go
right,
to look
all right,
yourself.
Well,
I won't be accessory.
212-209-2950. Let's get those phones ringing. $75 right. Pledge. You'll get three DVDs full of the media show produced by Gus and all kinds of super. Stars stopping in and puppets and lessons to be learned.
Written by Rob T. Firefly. Rob T. Firefly turned in a really, really, really funny script the other day about TV tropes. Now I'm getting my .org. There we go. That's the one that's .org. Snopes is .com. But it's really hilarious. I mean, it's one of these things where you just get in there and you're just like, Rob is witty and the script is action-packed with references to all kinds of funny things.
Okay, here's another clip. This has to do with fair use of songs, of music.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell us something about the setup here?
Oh, the songs. We wanted to do an episode about a song that everybody sort of sings without thinking about it on a relatively regular basis. So this is our song about how Happy Birthday is actually copyrighted. Or sorry, our episode about Happy Birthday is copyrighted.
You know, that's interesting because I saw Yoko Ono a week or so ago at Brooklyn Academy of Music. And great concert, amazing to see her and all the people who played with her. But her birthday's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
She's 76. She's going to turn 77. Amazing. She dances like a teenager on stage. It's great to see. But some wise guy in the crowd decided it would be a good idea to sing Happy Birthday to her. And, of course, the whole place erupted in a chorus of that. Seems like a nice thing to do. But now she's got to pay licensing rights for that to be included.
Well, no, Yoko Ono is exempt for licensing rights everywhere. There's a clause.
Exempt?
Yeah, all of them, yeah. It's the Yoko Ono clause.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. Yeah. That's good to know. Yeah, you got to be careful. They did that at the restaurant the other day that I was at. I wasn't the one who called the cops, but somebody did because they obviously hadn't filled out the appropriate paperwork to sing the song. And we have to look out for these things.
Yeah.
You don't sing the song here, do you?
Kind of.
Uh-oh.
Let's go ahead and it gets.
All right, we'll start this.
Happy Birthday is Interruptus.
I'll call the Pacifica attorney and we'll see if we can continue playing it.
We should go in time delay beforehand.
Yeah, we're gonna go into time delay. 212-209-2950. Remember, a pledge of $75 gets you three DVDs filled with episodes of this incredible educational program that would never air on PBS but can air in your home. 212-209-2950. And you'll get the off-the-hook T-shirt as well for a pledge of $75. Or if you just want the T-shirt, a pledge of $25. 212-209-2950. And now let's listen to an excerpt from the media show.
Good evening. Welcome to a very special The Media Show. It's The Media Show with more serious eyebrows.
66% more serious eyebrows, to be exact.
Today, we are here to inform you of one of life's lethal dangers.
Not drunk driving.
Not unprotected sex.
Not partially hydrogenated soybean oil.
Not having unprotected sex while driving drunk and eating partially hydrogenated soybean oil.
No, today's lethal danger is
singing songs.
So innocent, so pure, or so you might think. According to a recent article in The Times, even singing a Christmas carol can get you in ear-deep poop with the music industry.
Take the 15-year-old girl who posted a video on YouTube of herself playing and singing Winter Wonderland, thereby revealing to all the world that there is such a song as Winter Wonderland.
Thing is, Warner Music owns the rights to the song, so they can make YouTube take down the video any old time they want. And they did, preventing someone who wasn't getting paid for it from publicizing their song.
You can't take chances like that. She could have brought the Christmas industry to its knees. Knees!
You're kind of putting too much emphasis on the knees.
I like to say knees.
Get it out of your system.
I'm done.
And how about the teacher whose video got bumped because he was using the song Waiting for a Girl Like You to teach sign language?
Thereby running the very real risk that someone, somewhere...
Or many someones in many places will learn sign language! Oh, humanity!
So, the moral of this story is, don't sing in public.
Feel free to sing in the comfort of your own bedroom, bathroom, or car.
But the music industry is cracking down on performances of songs where other people can hear you.
Be careful out there, everyone. In other news, a couple of our fans had birthdays recently.
Yay! Happy birthday, Anne Stamshkin and Gavin Stewart!
In honor of this special occasion, I will now perform my special belching version of Happy Birthday.
No, Ina, don't!
I don't care if you think it's gross, it's my special talent.
No, Happy Birthday is owned by Time Warner, too!
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Freeze! This belt is protected by ASCAP.
But...
Caesar, man!
Oh, no, it hurt their birthday!
And that's what you get. To report someone that you know who has sung Happy Birthday in public, visit unhappybirthday.com.
Is this really what we want from copyright law?
Knees.
Okay. Wow. I don't know how to come out of that. That's staggering.
I think the only way is to remind people that they can get a copy.
Yeah, I mean, this is not something that you see every day, for sure, and certainly not something you'd see on your TV set unless you got these DVDs and put it on yourself. 212-209-2950. Join the caller on the line and pledge $75 to get all three of these DVDs with all kinds of cool lessons to be learned about the internet, about free speech, about fair use, all sorts of grown-up topics that are portrayed in a rather humorous and
yes.
ageless way.
I think we're going to include one disc that is labeled Safe for Aunt Mabel and another disc that is labeled Not Safe for Aunt Mabel. So there will be at least two discs saying that, because there are some episodes that are, they have no cussing, and they are phrased in a way that will be a little bit more... you know, they're still funny, but they're a little bit less scandalous. And then the one with the drag nuns and the hackers and the sex education and the cussing will all go on another disc that you can just save for yourself in your own private delectation.
Yes, so time of your choice.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends what your Aunt Mabel's tastes are.
That's true. I do have, actually, my Aunt Martha, in fact, would probably find these pretty awesome. So.
And you're going to need some sort of a dummy DVD or CD to put there so that they don't ask what happened to it.
The other one that is safe for anime.
We'll conspire with you to do something that's safe,
right.
And we'll work out. 212-209-2950. Bernie, are you joining us from Philadelphia?
I am calling from Philadelphia. Receiving a call from Philadelphia after a false attempt to the Sprint PCS dropping the call. Sorry about that.
Okay.
This is really amazing. I've viewed some of the video show episodes before, and Gus, I got to hand it to you and the other people that work on it. This is really very entertaining, educational stuff, and perfect for the people that you know in your life, friends or family, who might not really be up on all this stuff with modern communication systems and intellectual property laws and safety on the internet. I mean, there's numerous topics. I mean, dozens and dozens of topics that really anybody watching this would get it. That kind of topics that are really hard to explain to people. So I urge your listeners, please, if you support this kind of work and WBAI, give us a call at 212-209-2950. Again, for $75, you get three DVDs of the media show and the famous or infamous brand new off-the-hook T-shirt.
And I think one of the things I should probably say is here are some of the topics that we talk about. We do talk about fair use. We talk about copyright law in a way that's accessible. We talk about sending email forwards. We talk about netiquette. We talk about privacy on MySpace and Facebook. That's another thing that, you know, people need a little bit more explanation about. We talk about auto-loading sounds. This is sort of a lesser-known one. We've got an episode where we talk about why it's not a good idea to have a song auto-load when you start your website. So there's some stuff that's about good web design as well.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of stuff about advertising and a lot of things that, you know, sort of have people think a little bit harder about how they're responding to advertising. We've got Greg Conti, who did a great talk at Hope about evil interfaces. We've got him basically reprising that with a lot of examples of what interfaces are bad, like
win a free laptop when you click this flying monkey thing. You know, if you don't want your, you know, whoever in your family to keep doing that, or if you want to know more yourself about these things, these are all really good entrees to learning about this kind of stuff in a way that is, you know, it's less, you know, less high-tech, you know. It's, mm-hmm. it's not as difficult to understand. It's also great for educators. If you've got educators in your family who don't know all that much about copyright law and they're wondering what media they can and can't use in their classroom and how they can and can't have their kids do work with, for example, mashups and things like that, this is also pretty good for that.
212-209-2950. Give a call while this premium is available. It's only available tonight. $75. You'll get three DVDs filled with the media show, and it'll be extremely entertaining. We're all being very entertained here in the studio, and we're just listening to it. We're not able to see it. You'll be able to see it. You'll be able to see all the interesting characters and
yeah,
the people, the stars.
Really make, the visuals really make it come across
they really
in
do.
A very different way.
They really do.
Yeah,
and
we
it's,
try really hard to that.
Yeah, it's, and it's also inspirational because it shows what you can do if you just put your mind to it, and you can produce a program that will gain quite a following and bring in all sorts of people and talk about all kinds of issues.
I forgot the other thing that we, the other episode that was actually really popular, it got picked up by Boing Boing and by Lenore Skenazy at one point. Our Online Predators episode, basically arguing that the Online Predators issue is way overhyped and is not something you need to worry about quite as much as you do. We actually break down the statistics on that in a way we hope is entertaining. Some people find it a little bit violent because it involves a chainsaw,
uh-huh.
but you know, it's I think it's better than dry statistics. I'll tell you that much. So.
So I think then the media show.
Sorry, go ahead.
The media show does a great job at criticizing advertising without being like Luddite and technophobic, and especially when it comes to MySpace, Facebook issues, and you'll see people that are normally trying to criticize advertising for corrupting the minds of children are also I respect them for that, but then they go around and say like, oh well, Facebook is also trying to corrupt the minds of children and get them raped by pedophiles. It's like, and the media show does a good job of mashing up those two beliefs.
Yeah, it's serious statistics and facts presented in the face of silliness and presented in the spirit of silliness as well. So again, 212-209-2950. Join the people on the phone now to pledge for your copy and hopefully help the station out at the same time. Again, $25 pledge gets you the Off the Hook T-shirt, and $75 pledge gets you the DVD with all kinds of media show episodes. 212-209-2950. And with that, let's bring back Jason Scott, who is involved in a brand new project, as if you don't have enough to do. Now you've gone and you've made a film, another film?
Yes. Although it just occurred to me to mention to you, because I don't even know if you know about this whole... Do you know about Archive Team? Do you know about this project of mine? Where last year we got really cranked off because they turned off, I think it was AOL Hometown. Just turned it off one day like it was nothing. And
well, GeoCities, I know they turned off.
Well, that was the thing. I started a group called Archive Team, and we're rogue archivists, and we go in and we back up places before they go down.
Wow.
And then GeoCities announced they were going down, so we made a backup of it.
That's awesome.
So that's been kind of one of my big burning things. So that's archiveteam.org. I just wanted to mention that because it occurred to me that some of your group might want to help me. I'm the mascot. I'm not the leader. And there's probably 30 or 40 other people who come in and we'll find out something is going down, and suddenly we just, you know, fan out.
Mm-hmm.
We get a copy. We'll discuss copyright and everything else later, but
right.
We just want to ensure there's a copy. And we've saved a lot of people's sites who didn't know it was going down until it was too late. So
wow.
Anyway.
Well, tell us about your new project,
okay.
Which is a film called Get Lamp, I believe.
Yes. So Get Lamp is the second of a documentary. Second documentary I've done now. The first one was about computer bulletin boards, and then after I finished that, I thought, well, what else affected my youth? And the answer was text adventures. Now, text adventures are one of those things that, to a certain age, you have a strong memory of them, and if you are younger than that, then you have kind of a knowledge of some of the, I don't know what the word is, memes, talismans, like if you hear the phrase, twisty little passages all like, that has meaning to this old kind of game. And certainly everyone who's installed something like Linux might find a game called Adventure on there, where you're suddenly put into a description of a location and then asked, what do you want to do next?
Or
and
you might type XYZZY somewhere, and something will respond and say nothing happens.
Yes.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? And so, or it's pitch dark and you can't see a thing. And there's all this kind of meaning to that because... in the beginning of computers, when you wanted to have games, graphics couldn't win out. There wasn't as easy a way to get graphics. So instead, what people would do is create what sounds almost like science fiction, if you describe it that way, that it would tell you a story and then ask you what you want to have happen next in the story. You would say it, and then it would describe what happened. And along the way, you would solve puzzles, and along the way, you would kind of be like living in a book.
Mm-hmm.
And then as graphics took over, we kind of moved away from that, and the story became, once upon a time, you were a guy with a gun who kept shooting things until you found a key.
You know, I really miss the days of the text adventure, because it was such magic. Back then, computers were, you know, starting to become popular,
mm-hmm.
but you could get completely lost in this world within the computer, where you start off outside a house, maybe, and then you type a command, enter house, and you're inside the house. Now you see various things around you, and you pick up objects, and then you use the objects when you go to other rooms or other directions, you know, upstairs, downstairs, things like that. And it's all in your head. It's all something that you're picturing, because it's being described to you in front of you.
Right.
The very first adventure game I played, it was on a printout terminal, because mm-hmm. That's the only thing we had available at the time.
Right.
And reams of paper of just wandering around. I never did finish the original adventure. Okay, so how do you make a film about this?
Okay, so, well, first of all, I knew I had to move sooner rather than later on doing it, just simply because the first adventure game is worked on in 1976, and so you're talking about people getting older, and also evidence of stuff kind of disappearing. So I went and I interviewed creators of various adventure games, people who had worked in adventure companies, people who played them back then, people who have gotten doctorates in them, people who have written new stuff in the modern era trying to bring back that magic, or saying, I can do even better now.
Doctorates in adventure games.
Mm-hmm. Two or three of those.
Wait, more than one.
Yeah, more than one. Actually, it's kind of an interesting story there, because the first person who got a doctorate was in 1984, and her name was Marianne Buckles. Dr. Buckles to you. And she got it. It was German literature, but she had modified it so she could basically do text adventures,
uh-huh.
and which you can imagine just delighted her school.
Uh-huh.
And
she had to fight. She had to fight like crazy to get her committee to pass her, as I recall.
Yeah, yeah. And so basically she did it and was so burnt out by it, she became a massage therapist. She never used her degree.
Uh-huh.
And I found her because she happened to give an interview 10 years later. And I found her by calling up every spa in her area until I found her. And
you know, Steve Rambam would be proud. You're a true detective.
Yeah,
as
and
far
so,
as tracking these people down.
And she was very, you know, like, why is this at all interesting? And I told her, people will want to know about you. And now there is no real major academic work in games that doesn't cite her
mm-hmm.
doctorate.
I think it's so sad that many text adventures in general have been pretty much supplanted by a lot of visual media, because
mm-hmm.
it's sort of like the comparison between TV and movies to books, where, you know, like you were saying before, Emmanuel, how, you know, in one case you get to watch this story being presented to you by somebody else, in the other case you get to imagine it in your head. And a lot of people say that, you know, books still have a valuable place even in today's world because of that. And
there are some people who say that, yes.
And yeah, you know, sometimes you want to read a book for something, other times a movie might be better, but as far as text adventures go versus graphical video games,
that's
you don't
interesting.
See any text adventures
I never really
anymore.
Thought about it like that, but yeah, it's sort of like you're reading a book versus watching TV, and I
yeah.
guess when you just have a text adventure in front of you, it's more like you're reading a book than playing some stupid mindless game where you're shooting things.
Right. Brian Moriarty described it as being like the radio drama, that it was a media that's kind of gone, but if you do one for people, they'll be like, wow, this is great. Why isn't this always happening? And it's one of those things where it's like, well, people just got convinced something was better, and nobody wanted to fund it.
Wow. Okay, well, we have excerpts from your film, too,
sure.
which is not yet released. It's being released, right?
Yeah, it's being released
next month.
Next month. I have a premiere at PAX East, the Penny Arcade Expo East in Boston, where I'm bringing some of the heroes of old who made some of these games up for a panel and showing it off. And then right after that, or soon after that, boxes are going out.
And you could be among the first to get a copy of this film, which we're about to play an excerpt from. We'll give you the details right afterwards. But the phone number is 212-209-2950. And that's who are we going to hear in this first clip here?
Okay, the excerpts were varying length. I didn't want to kill people with a thing that was primarily visual. The first thing you are going to hear is a variety of people describing the first time they stumbled onto the game Adventure.
Ooh, okay. Sounds fascinating. An excerpt from Jason Scott's Get Lamp documentary here on Off the Hook. And I'm sorry, I messed up the machine. Hang on, I have to hit the button. I've never used this machine before. That's why that didn't work. Give me one moment. I'm going to hit that button there. Here we go.
It was 1979, and a friend of mine had just come back from Sierra College going nuts, saying, "Oh my God, there's games up at the college, and they're free."
Everybody was talking about it for a period there in 1978. It came out of nowhere, and it got copied all over the place.
In our dorm, there was a computer room which had two old DEC line printer terminals. And they said, "There's this game you've got to try out. It's called Adventure. It's really great." And they had all these incredibly cool Lisp machines with big, gorgeous displays, and a bunch of people are huddled around a machine that's got text.
Yeah, you'd sit there with a little 300 baud telephone modem and type in a line, you know, "Get lamp," and wait a minute, 2 minutes, and then, you know, they would type the thing out. So
Adventure took us over, took the whole lab over, consumed everyone for a while.
The game by Crowther and Woods was a sensation.
Literally days went by, and all we did was play the game.
And then nobody got any work done for a week.
As the legend goes, and it's absolutely true, all productivity ceased for about a week as people attempted to solve it.
You know, that's something that in the 70s, to be able to type commands to a computer in something that looked like English, and to have it respond to you with lines of text telling you what happens next, that captivated people.
We got down to the point finally where Bruce went in with a binary debugger to get the last couple of points.
Okay, and that's an excerpt from Get Lamp, the new Jason Scott movie that is being released next month, all about text adventures. And, you know, I want to hear more because this is intriguing as far as it brings back memories. It's a fascinating intro to what computers turned into. And
right.
It was fun. It was so much fun.
It was interesting. It was interesting to make something like this, because on one end it's talking about history, on another end it's talking about the nature of writing and creativity and what does that involve.
Mm-hmm.
What are puzzles? What does puzzling mean, which falls directly into the programmer mentality? And then finally, you know, there's one of those statistics that you hear and you're like, what? And it's that there's more text adventures being made now than there ever were.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, and
really?
Many of them are as good or better than the old ones.
Yeah, and they're making more text adventures now.
Every year.
Who's doing this, and how do I get them?
If you look for IFComp, like Interactive Fiction, IFComp, every year they have a competition, and you're supposed to be able to solve the games, or be able to theoretically solve the games within 2 or 3 hours, so they're generally short stories.
2 or 3 hours?
Right. That's you should be able to theoretically do it. And the idea there is that for a lot of the competitions, it's a way to encourage people to make new ones and build something up, but not get trapped into designing something for years on end.
Mm-hmm.
That said, there are people who then do one, you know, and they do it to stand out. And
okay.
Suddenly you're like, wow, I'm playing a full-length one that's going to take me for months. So, yeah.
We have copies, autographed copies. I don't know if you knew about that part of it, Jason, but you're going to sign these DVDs of the movie that is coming out next month, Get Lamp. And, of course, Get Lamp being a command inside an adventure game. If you see a lamp on the floor, that's how you pick it up, Get Lamp. And then I guess you would turn lamp on to actually illuminate the room you're standing in. That's the name of the movie, and it's available for a pledge of $75, 212-209-2950. We should also point out that if you're torn and you want the media show and the movie, for a pledge of $125, you'll get everything. You'll get the Off the Hook t-shirt, the brand new Off the Hook t-shirt. You'll get the media show, 3 DVD set. And you'll also get the brand new movie Get Lamp for a pledge of $125. 212-209-2950 is our phone number. Voltaire.
One of the most interesting parts of this project was the way you funded this project through, I believe it was Kickstarter. Could you tell us about that?
There are multiple ways that it was funded. The first one was something where I had shot the previous documentary in standard definition using a Canon XL1, which is a nice little workhorse, but by 2005 was getting a little long in the tooth. And so I asked, would anybody be interested in funding my movie with, say, $100? And if I get enough of you, I can buy a high-definition camera. And, you know, 2006, this is a pretty costly thing. And 50 people did. And so there was $5,000. I bought a high-definition camera. As I went on, as I got towards the end of this production, I decided to go full-time with being a computer historian. And I did a Kickstarter project. And Kickstarter is basically a fundraising engine. And I put up a list of everything I had done for the last 10 years and said, if you want me to do this all the time, fund me. And 347 people did, and that got me, I think it was $26,000, and that's what I'm living on for this year and doing computer history full time.
And I think that's a nice little parallel to what we're trying to do here tonight, is having people call up so that we can continue to live here at 99.5 FM. And support the station so we can talk about things like this and inspire creative people to do all kinds of other projects as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
209-2950.
No, I mean, it was really nice because it gave people a chance who didn't really, you know, you do something for long enough, you get fans, but even more bewildering, you get fans who are kind of embarrassed or nervous to talk about you or to you because they feel like, I don't have anything to bring to him. I don't want to bother him. And you never find out that somebody cares about what you do because they don't really want to make that step. And this let a lot of people make a step with me. And it was a way of saying, I believe in what you're doing. Here's a little bit of money. That was my excuse for talking to you. But I want you to know I really like what you did. And suddenly they could tell me. So same thing here. I think people, if they give money towards the station, it's a way of you know, not just passively liking it as you drive around or at home, you can say, oh, I want them to know how much I care.
And this is a donation on Jason's part to the radio station. So we're all putting in whatever we can to help keep this place afloat. So what we are asking is for our listeners to also join us in this. Because in the end, it's not about the things that we give you. It's not about the shirts and the movies and the DVDs and books and things like that. It's about having an outlet for alternative thought and creativity and controversial things to be discussed in a non-commercial environment right here in the middle of New York City. You're the people who make that possible. And by calling 212-209-2950, pledging whatever you can afford, using your credit card if you want, or paying cash or check, you're a part of that. You're adding to it. You're adding to the voice. You're adding to the strength. You're keeping us going. Since 1960, this radio station has been doing this. And it's a real testament to the spirit of New Yorkers and the spirit of people around the world now that this place is vital, this place is needed. And what you're seeing tonight are two examples of how creativity can be used, how people can be educated, how something that isn't being tackled by anybody else can be successfully demonstrated and get out to a whole lot of people. So your call, 212-209-2950, is a voice of support for all that. Mike? I'm sorry, I didn't turn your mic on. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Fine. You pledge $25 to get the T-shirt, the brand new T-shirt. You pledge $75. You have your choice of The Media Show, which is a three-disc set, or Get Lamp. You pledge $125, you get everything. You get the T-shirt, The Media Show, the Get Lamp. But I wanted to ask Jason, it would not be a Jason Scott documentary if I did not ask how many DVDs you get with that Get Lamp.
Okay, so Get Lamp is two DVDs. So it not just covers text adventures / interactive fiction, which is how it's also called. It also has a whole section on Bedquilt, which is the actual cave that the original adventure was based on. I went down into the cave with the Cave Research Foundation. There's a episode on Infocom, which was the largest company.
Oh,
and I have
them.
A lot of that.
I remember them.
Yeah, I've got an awful lot of footage about them, and I thought, well, I'll just make a little featurette about them. And then there's one on game books, which, I'll call them that, choose-your-own-adventure books. But that to call them choose-your-own-adventure books would be like calling all radios Sony. It's not really accurate. There's thousands of them.
I got to ask. First of all, we have four calls on the line. So join those people and call in 212-209-2950. Show your support. It means a great deal to us to know you're out there. I played Adventure a lot. My first computer experience was in high school, and of course I wound up using the computer for purposes that it wasn't supposed to be used for, including playing games.
Mm-hmm.
And Adventure was one of those things that I got into that was really a lot of fun and very interesting. But I never was able to actually finish the game. I never got to the end of it, and I'm just curious, what happens at the very end of the original Adventure? Are you able to tell us that?
You want me to ruin it for hundreds of people?
It's been over 30 years. Ruin it, because otherwise it's never going to get ruined for me. I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. Yeah. Upon the acquisition of all the treasures that you are trying to acquire, you find that the cave is shutting down.
Oh, no.
And you end up being shuffled out of the cave into a storage area where you must solve the final puzzle to finally escape. So that's the environment. Now, one of the things that isn't known is the original Adventure was for mainframes and had a mode where it could be shut down for the day. In other words, because computer time was so expensive, you could actually log into Adventure and it would say, sorry, the cave's closed.
I think we did that at our high school
during school hours.
And
you could actually execute a command to tell everyone in the cave it's time to get out of the cave, you know, as if it was a swimming pool or some sort of park. You could tell people, oh, no, get out of the game. We need the machine back to do other work. And that has been really lost. I found the man who ported it from basically mainframes to mini computers, which is the version that we all play. I mean, pretty much every person who thinks they've played it has played his port, so he was able to get it down there, but he told me about these original versions that are long since gone.
All right, we had a flurry of calls, and we want to keep that coming in. 212-209-2950. Pledge of $75 gets you autographed copy of the DVD set that Jason has produced.
I really should mention one feature of it, which, again, you said Jason Scott production. One of the things that was really big with adventure games, especially commercial games, was what were called feelies or wrap-ins. You would end up with an item in the box, the adventure game. So you get an adventure game, and, oh, you get a map. Or maybe you would get a glow-in-the-dark stone, which was in Wishbringer. Or you would get some postcards. And it was all meant to bring you out there. So I decided to do that with GitLamp. So GitLamp comes with a minted serial-numbered coin that is I'm having a mint make one, and they will be, like I said, individually numbered, two-tone, and two-tone different kinds of metals, and that's included in every package.
Okay. 212-209-2950 is the phone number to call. Please keep those pledges coming in. $75, you'll get the Get Lamp documentary, going to be released next month, in fact, autographed copy. $75, you have your choice. You can get that, or you can get the 3-DVD set of The Media Show, which we excerpted earlier tonight. For $125, you can get all of them, including the Off the Hook t-shirt, which you'll get for any pledge, $25 and above. 212-209-2950. I should point out, this is all only going to be available for the next 9 minutes. Then we're out of here. Then this is no longer available. So if you know anybody that would like this, and if for some reason you wouldn't yourself, give a call, 212-209-2950, and pledge your support. And if you just want to keep us going, give a call and pledge your support. 212-209-2950. I'm going to play a second excerpt from this.
If we're going to play one, I think we should go for track three.
Track three. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is the right one. I really hope so. This is the one about mazes.
I don't know how to move ahead on this. Where's the... hang on. I got to figure out how to... I've never used this machine before. It doesn't have an advance. Is that it? There it is. I got it. No need to come over. All right.
Call the dogs.
Track three. What is this again?
I'm very sure this is the one about mazes.
All right, it's 1 minute and 1 second long. Does that sound...
That sounds about right.
About mazes. All right.
If not, it'll be about something else equally interesting.
That's right. You can just listen randomly, and it'll be interesting. 212-209-2950. Let's listen to an excerpt from GitLamp.
I mean, mazes are sort of a special case in IF. Like, people have a pathological aversion to mazes, which is, you know, like, you... I don't know, you like, ring a bell, and then, like, you kick a dog a bunch of times, and, like, it starts, like, crying after you ring the bell a couple times. So that's how people in the IF community feel about mazes.
Oh, my God, a maze. Kill me now.
And there's nothing intrinsically wrong about mazes, but people have like a built-in aversion to them by now. So that's kind of a special case.
I thought mazes were old school from the beginning myself.
Mazes were a staple of early interactive fiction. It seemed as though virtually every story had at least one or two mazes that you had to somehow map your way around in and figure your way out of.
When you're encountering something for the first time, it seems really cool. When I played Zork, I was like, oh, this maze, what a brilliant idea. And then 50,000 iterations later, it just does not seem so brilliant.
I don't know. I think it does. I think it's pretty brilliant. And Zork, that's the name of the Infocom thing I was trying to remember.
Yes, Zork.
Yeah.
I have the creator of Zork, or one of the co-creators. There are three guys who created Zork, essentially, and I got two of them, and including the creator of what we think of as the GRU.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who created Zork, interesting guy, Mark Blank, he went to MIT, and then he went to medical school because he thought he had to, but he didn't want to. And he would basically get all of his classes to be on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday so he could leave Thursday night, go back up to Boston and work on Zork, and then come back late. And every time he found out there was going to be snow, he would drive down to Boston as fast as he could so he would get snowed in. And he graduated, which means, what do you call the guy who graduated from medical school who didn't want to go there? You call him doctor.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, so he went off into games and then actually works for Google now. So
incredible. Just the history here, and you really should be commended on what you've done to preserve that history. And this movie alone is an epic achievement in doing that. But all the work you do with text files, and just getting us to appreciate our culture, because it really is a fascinating culture that has developed over the decades. And we don't know where it's going to go from here, but those early days really were pretty fascinating.
I think there's a lot to be said for getting the human side as well as the artifacts. And so it's one of those things. People have said, what are you going to look into next?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, like, I really want to kind of collect the history of IRC and of FTP sites. And they're like, what do you mean? That's brand new. There's nothing wrong. And I'm like, try finding any place that distributes anything on FTP now.
Mm-hmm.
Or try.
Actually, we do. You can get our shows on FTP, but most people don't.
Yes. That's the thing. I mean, you are a paragon of you know, uniqueness as time has gone on, you know.
The thing that's amazing, and this is something that we've had many people from Hollywood come and ask us, how do we make this movie about hacking and make it interesting? And I think you saw this manifest itself in the movie Hackers, where they had to have all these flashing gizmos and
yeah,
graphical interfaces and things like that. I think if you do it well, if you do it right, the simple text itself is fascinating enough. If the story behind it is interesting, because I know when I was involved in playing around with computer systems of various sorts, something that appeared on the screen in just pure ASCII text would be enough to make me jump up to the ceiling in excitement because of what it represents. And I think that's what you succeeded in doing in making a film where I don't think people would have realized, yeah, I can make a film about text adventure games. When you say that, people sort of give a double take. Is that really interesting? And yeah, it is. It really is.
And it works for me in a double-edged way. Number one, I never had to look over my shoulder at the other production company doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, it meant that it was a challenge, and I knew that if I finished it, it was going to be the movie, which was, you know, there were several people told me, oh, no, he'll never sit down for an interview with you. He doesn't like to talk about those periods. And a couple times they would go, of course I'll talk to you, and I'd say, why? And they're like, oh, because you're obviously going to be it, and I might as well talk to you.
Wow. Well, okay, again, we're getting a flurry of calls, and let's keep those calls coming in. If you don't get an answer for whatever reason, it might be that we're overloaded in the tally room, so let the phone ring or call right back. 212-209-2950. Once again, wrapping it all up for a pledge of $75, your choice of Gus's media show, which focuses on all kinds of fascinating items from our current internet culture and freedom of speech and all kinds of other relevant things. Pledge of $75, you get the 3-DVD set of that. For a pledge of $75, you may choose to get Jason Scott's brand new documentary, Get Lamp, available or coming out officially next month. For a pledge of $125, you'll get both of those items and the Off the Hook T-shirt. In fact, you'll get the Off the Hook T-shirt for any pledge, 25 and above, in the size of your choice. But you have to call in the next 5 minutes, or it's not going to be available anymore. 212-209-2950. I want to thank the both of you, Gus and Jason, for your work and for doing something that I think will inspire a lot of people.
And like I always say, thank you for what you do.
Oh, thanks. Maybe I'll do it again.
Do you guys have websites? People
yes,
can go.
Yes, please.
For the movie, getlamp.com, and that'll link to everything else I do.
Okay.
For me, youtube.com/themediashow.
Okay. 212-209-2950. We'll see you next week. Good night.
They went away in a very good way, they did. Wow, I really enjoyed myself here. Let me calm down.